Here we go. Welcome to Daf Yud Gimel, which picks up on Yud Beis Amud Beis, where the Mishnah, one of the things the Mishnah said, Ubilvad Shelo Yechavein Es Melachto B'Moed. The Kulon Imkibna Melachto B'Moed Ya'avodu. So the Mishnah said that all the heterim of situations where it's mutter to do certain things on Chol HaMoed are only if you did not intentionally schedule those things for Chol HaMoed. But if you did intentionally schedule those things for Chol HaMoed, then you're not allowed to get any benefit from them. So the Gemara says the following. Boi minei Rav, two lines in the bottom. Boi minei Rav Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the following question for Rabbi Zeira. Kibein belachto b'moed. See, I have someone that does the wrong thing, and they're mechavin melachto b'moed. The mace. And then Nebuch, the person, passes away. Mao shi yikonsu bonav acharov. So what happens when the person passes away? Their children are yoresh, all their stuff. So now the children are yoresh the stuff, and the shaila is, can they get benefit from this work that was done on Chol HaMoed, that was done improperly, or are they subject to the same knas, to the same fine, so to speak, as their father? So the Gemara, that's the Gemara's shaila. Right, which is really, the Gemara is actually going to clarify this in a few minutes in a pretty briskerdika lashon, but really, what's the question? The question is the knas on the money, or is the knas on the person, right? Is it a knas because the person did something wrong, so we do not allow that person to benefit from it? These are different people. They didn't do anything wrong. Or no, anytime something is ultimately accomplished as a result of doing the wrong thing, that's something, that chepza, sort of becomes its own chepza shel iser. And so now, it's a problem for anyone, right? Like on Maisa Shabbos is a great example of that, right? If a person does malacha on Shabbos, let's say a person cooks on Shabbos, so the Mishnayos and Shabbos and the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch all discuss what happens if someone does a malacha on Shabbos. So if the person did the malacha b'mezid, then that person who did the malacha can't benefit from it, and nobody else could benefit from it either. It's asr la'achirim. What if the person, which is the more common situation, did the malacha b'shogeg, right? They did it by mistake. So that is asr for that person till the end of Shabbos. That is asr to that person. And the shaila is it asr to everyone else as well? And that's a machlokas in the Gemara. And that machlokas in the Gemara is a machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. And then that machlokas rishonim is then between Tosis and the Rambam, had a paskin. And then the general din of the Shulchan Aruch is that we're machmir on this. That if somebody does something b'shogeg, then we do not get benefit, at least on Shabbos, even those around them. And that has a lot of ramifications. Let's say you go to someone's house for Shabbos and you're a guest. And you see that he did something wrong we're talking about a chashash yisadol rice, right? So let's say they did something with the cooking that was off. It's kind of hard to be over on an yisadol rice of cooking, but it's possible, right? Certainly according to certain shittos, it's possible with the davar lach. So you're sitting at the table, you don't want to embarrass them. They did it b'shogeg, they didn't realize it was wrong, right? So you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to get benefit from that. So mi'ikra din, you're not. However, the Mishnah Brura writes that the Vilna Gaon would paskin like Tosis, Leheter, and that in the case of Shasat Chak, you're allowed to go ahead and get benefit from that in the case of Bishogig. So if you really feel like you're, let's say it's your house and somebody made a mistake and you can avoid any sort of Shasat Chak, so okay. But if you're in someone else's house and somebody made a mistake and as a result there's a Maisa Shabbos, so the Mishnah Berurah writes if it's a Shasat Chak, then you can go ahead and rely on the more mekel shitas, and you can get benefit from the malacha b'shogeg. You know where this comes up a lot, but the Bir Halacha says it's a different situation. This comes up a lot. Did we discuss this ever? Comes up a lot with regards to carrying, right? Let's say you invite somebody who's not religious to your home for a Shabbos, and they show up all of a sudden with a bottle of wine. And there's no Eruv, right? and they carried, or they came from outside the Eruv, right? Which is also likely, let's say, in a car. So they put this wine down on your table, and what do you do? So the Bir Halacha, not relaying to that exact case, but the Bir Halacha is mechalik between malachos that are that accomplish a shinui in the guf hadavar, like bishul, where there's an actual, you're benefiting from the actual transformation of the item itself, and things where it's subject to a malacha, but nothing changed in the item itself. That's not called hana. The wine, you can't detect in that wine in any way, shape, or form that it traveled. And so therefore, even if somebody goes ahead, what?
Or even if it was purchased.
Right. Or even if it was purchased on Shabbos, nothing is evident in the wine. So there's no shinui to the guf hadavar, so you're good to go. So you can be makel on that child. It used to happen to us all the time when we used to have kids over from MNCSY. You could drink it, assuming you could drink wine. Right. Yeah. you could drink it. I wanted to Taina, I don't know if this is true, but I wanted to Taina that what about, because this comes up all the time, what about Borer, right? What about if someone does Borer, which is a malacha that's less known, right? So do we say that Borer is, or somebody doesn't care about Borer? It's not Beshogig, it's, they're
Borer
not
separating,
right? They think a Borer is a Chumrah, or they, you know, a bunch of rabbis, you tell me how I make a salad, like, it's ridiculous, you know, I'm not turning on a TV. So, you know, so what about Borer? So there's a Chakira in Borer, whether or not, based on whether or not it's Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa and a Balamor, but there's a Chakira in Borer, whether or not the Malach of Borer is the Hasaras HaPsoles, removing the Psoles, or whether or not the Malach of Borer is the Tikkun HaOcha. And that's the shaila of whether or not it should be considered a Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. What are you doing when you do Borer? Are you fixing what's left, or are you removing what's wrong? What's the Malach, right? It's the same action.
It's both.
But what's conceptually the malach? It's the same. It's action, but conceptually, what did we aser? So this might be a nafkamina, because if the iser is the hasaras apsoles, so then you're just left with the item. Nothing happened to the salad itself. But if the malach of borer is the tikkun ha'ochel, that by removing the tomatoes, I hate tomatoes. By removing the tomatoes, now the salad's a better salad. The whole salad's a better salad. That's how we look at borer. So maybe that is a shini to the guf hadavar. So these are halachas that come up all the time, whether or not you can get hana from something somebody does wrong. So this person did something wrong, and then they died. And now we need to know what to do with the children. So the Gemara says, well, we have a number of precedents where we address this issue. So maybe this is comparable to those precedents, or maybe it's not. So the Gemara says, Imtin Salomer, if you want to say, Tzeremozen Bechar, Konsu Beno Acharov. So the halacha is that we give our Bechar, we give our first animals to the Kohen. And the halacha is, says Rashi, that if there's a mum, right, and it can't be offered as a carbon, so then it can't be used as a carbon, and the Kohen gets to keep it. What if the Kohen figures out, hey, this looks like a really great animal. This could make a really gewaldig steak. I have a family coming later. Why don't I give the animal a mum, and then I'll be able to use the whole thing, because we won't be able to offer it on the carbon. So the halacha is, says Rashi, chatach me'azno me'at, if he damages the ear a little bit, kadeshi abal mum, it's abal mum, ye mutter lo, and it should be mutter to him, but also lasos ken, you're not allowed to do that, because mum lo yebo, you're not allowed to put a mum in an animal for a carbon. So therefore, the Rabbanan, if he does it anyway, they make a knas that he's not allowed to get benefit from this bechor. It's got to go to a different kohen. So what happens if a guy does this? He makes a mum in the ear, and then he dies. So the halacha is, konsu b'no acharov. We're kones, the children after him. Meaning, they're also not allowed to get. The yarshim are not allowed to benefit from it all. So what does that sound like? That sounds like it does go to the children. So the Gemara says, no, mishum de isidor raisa. That's because that's an isidor raisa. Here we're dealing with work on chol hamoed, which according to most people, is according to most situations, and is an isidor rabbanon, certainly in our situation. Vimtim salomar, if you want to say, machar avdolov li kochavim v'meis, it's usher to sell an eved kenani to an oved avodah zarah. Why? Because we know when an eved kenani goes out of your rishos, it's chayv mitzvos. You're putting him in a home where he's not going to be able to keep mitzvos properly. So it's usher to do that. What if you do it anyway? If you do it anyway, you have to buy back the eved. And not only do you have to buy back the eved, you're not allowed to keep the eved. You have to let him go free. That's the knas. So the halacha is, konsu b'no acharov. That the children, so if a guy does this, he sells the eved to eved kanani, and then then he dies. And then the eved kanani escapes the base of Avodah Zarah. This sale is not considered chal, because you're not allowed to do this. Comes back, and now they want to be Meshabe Deseved Kanani. So the Gemara says, no, Konsu B'no Acharov. We are Kones, the kids, they're not allowed to keep the Eved Kanani. They have to let him go free. So doesn't that seem to prove that it does affect the children? So the Gemara says, no, that's case, mishum d'chol yoma mifkalei mimitzvos. Every day that you're leaving him in that situation, he's mufka from mitzvos. He can't perform mitzvos properly. So in order to incentivize the children to go rescue the Eved Kanani, we make this knas, right, to push them to do it. That they don't get, so, but in a normal case, we would not necessarily pass it on to the children. Hachamai, what's the din here? Gavra konis rabbanon, and here the Gemara formulates the shaila. Are we konis the gavra, the person, in which case the person's gone, or v'halesa, and he's not here, odema mamona konis rabbanon, well, you konis the money, and the money is here, and the children shouldn't be allowed to use it. So the Gemara says, v'ha'isei, and they are here. So Amar Lei, the money's here. Amar Lei, Tinisua. We actually have a Mishnah that could clarify this whole thing. What is that? Sadesh nis katzvoha bishvius. If you have a field that was full of thorns and you cleared the thorns away from the field on Shemitah, you're not allowed to do such a thing because you are basically improving the land during Shemitah, which you're not supposed to do. So if you do that, you're not supposed to do it, but if you did, then tizra lemotzei shviyas. You could still plant that field at the end of Shemitah. But, nitaiva o nidaira, if you fertilize the land, either by putting fertilizer on the land, or by trapping the animals in a concentrated way that their defecation ultimately results in fertilizing the land, we give you a knas. Lo tizra lemotzei shviyas. You cannot plant this field on motzei shviyas. Right? So what does that seem to prove? You cannot plant this field on Motzei Shviyas. So hold on. The Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, another case. Naktinon hitiva v'meis. We know that the din is from Yosi Bar Chanina that if you do this hitiva, you put the fertilizer down, and then the person dies, b'no zroa, that the son is allowed to work the field in Motzei Shviyas. Amali didei konsu rabbanon livrei lo konsu rabbanon. So we see that the rabbanon are kones him, but they're not kones the children. And that proves for us as well, by Chol HaMoed, he did something wrong, we don't take it out on the kids. Hachanami lididei konsu rabbanon livrei lo konsu rabbanon. Here also we're kones him, not the children. Am rabbi naktinan, he has another case. Tima taharosav. Let's say, I really don't like you. So I go ahead and I figure, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be metame your taharos. And it causes all sorts of problems for you. So v'meis, well, not me, let's say somebody else does this, and they die. Lo konsu b'no achrov. We don't make the children pay for this damage. Why? My time, what's the reason? Why shouldn't they have to pay for this damage? Hezek shein or nikar lo shmei hezek. We hold that if the hezek, if the damage is not evident in the item itself, which in Taharos, it's not. You can't see it. You can't perceive it. So that's not considered Hezek. It's a sugyon Baba Kama. So what do you see? Hezek shena nikr lo shmei Hezek. So lididei konsu rabbanon. So therefore, the fact that you have to pay altogether is only a din to rabbanon. The rabbanon were kones you, livrei, but your children, lo konsu rabbanon, they were not kones. So what do we see from these two cases? We see that if there's no exceptional circumstances, like it's a din d'oraisa, or we're trying to motivate you to get the Eved home, right? If there's no exceptional circumstances, in a normative case, we are kones the individual, we are but livrei lo konsu rabbonon. We're not kones the children, and that would be the halacha with Chol HaMoed Shaila as well. Ein lochim batim avadim ubehema. So this is one of those dinim of Chol HaMoed that I think people are not conscious of, right? And that is, you're not really supposed to conduct general business. You're not supposed to go shopping on Chol HaMoed in general. You're not supposed to use Chol HaMoed as an opportunity to go shopping.
Groceries.
Except, groceries we'll get to. Except, there are some exceptions. Letzorech HaMoed. So to buy groceries for Yontif, that you're for sure allowed to do. To buy a dress for Yontif, you're allowed to do. To buy clothes for Yontif, you're allowed to do. To buy anything you need, litzorech hamoed, you're allowed to do. But to say, hey, I took off of work, and we're all around, let's go buy bookshelves. And it has nothing to do with the moed. Let's go buy a couch. It has nothing to do with the moed. You don't need a couch. You can buy a couch another time. Very good. We'll get to that. It's a hefsin merubah. If it's on sale, so the poskim are mechalik. If it's on a sale that almost never happens, it's a unique sale, so then you could go get the couch. But if it's a sale, and this is important to understand, not all sales are equal. This is true about the 9 days also. Like, every time you walk into Macy's, there's a sign that says, today is 20% off, right? And after a while, you start to catch on. Maybe there's a markup of an additional 20%, for which every day is 20% off. And then when there's a big yontif, there's 30% off or 40% off. So that's, you know, that's not a sale. That sale is going to be around after Chol HaMoed also. So just for your convenience, that's not called a Hefsid Meruba. But let's say there's a closeout, or let's say there's a specific item on sale, or let's say there's, you know, a floor sample that you can't get another time, or let's say you don't have access to Macy's another time. So now it becomes, or, you know, I don't know if you'd open the card. They always try to get you to open the card because it's additional 10% off, right? You go to there to buy three pair of socks, and she's like, you know, if you open the card now, you'll get an additional 10% off. And you're like, I don't think I'm going to do that now, right? So the... So if it's a sale that's significant, then David's correct. Then that would be mutter to on Chol HaMoed, even though it's not Litzorech HaMoed.
Is that the same if it's like a Dan's Deals flight for like 6 months later to Halal?
Yeah, probably. If it's I'm buying a ticket now to Israel, where the United price is $2,200 and the Halal price is $899. What do you do? How do you explain that? I don't understand. I'm not going first class.
$200.
It's not first class. It's for a regular, normal, obnoxious ticket sitting next to some fetchy kid who's going to make my life miserable for 12 hours. It's steerage. It's mamish, you know, first class.
Way in the back.
Yeah,
past the laboratory.
I'm by the Reach Nichoach. You know, I'm in charge of the line. I'm Amish. I sit there, and I'm in charge of the line. Goes right past because I like the aisle. I make sure that everything stays on the line and who goes next, and you know, like if the door, if it goes open, you know, if it is open. You know what I mean? That's Mamish my role on the flight.
Where are you going?
What? Middle of December. So, ein lochim batim avodim behema el tzorach hamoed. Oh, here's the other exception that nobody mentioned. Litzorach hamocher she'ein lo mayochal. Oh, let's say you have a shopkeeper. The only way he makes his money is by keeping his store open. And if we don't frequent his store, he won't have a parnosa. And he won't have anything to eat. You're allowed to buy from him. Even if it's not litzorach hamoed. You're allowed to... What?
Just said I can be open Chol HaMoed.
If you're ein ma lo yochal, right? If without being open you'll have nothing to eat, and actually the post can talk about what exactly is the hagdara of that. That doesn't mean that the fact that you use some of this money to eat is not. It means you'll have nothing to eat. Then you could be open a Chol HaMoed. So if we're worried that only shopping at this guy's store is going to create a situation where only a Dabra Aved or only the Tzorach HaMoed, he won't make enough Parnasa. So we're allowed to shop at his store. She'ein lo ma'yochal. Interesting dim. Bo minei Rabba.
It's interesting though, because although the grocery stores are always open on Chol HaMoed, and it's not because the store owner necessarily needs the money, but it's more like we need the food.
We need the food for the Moed. And they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to be open to that. In Eretz Yisrael, they're makpin in some of the communities for the grocery stores to only be open certain number of hours a day to sort of be mefarsim that it's not lamoed. I saw somewhere that the Chazanish or the Stipler and Chaim Kanievsky, you buy their svarim from them. They won't sell the svarim on Chol HaMoed. Even though people come from America and it's a shtickle davar of it, they can't get to the... They don't want to do mekachol memchar on Chol HaMoed. So just to be thoughtful that when we go shopping on Chol HaMoed, we're only buying things that we need for the moed, not necessarily buying. Post can talk about maybe if you're buying, like, you don't have to be so, if you need apples for the last days of Yontif, so you don't have to be mishire that you're only buying three apples and not six. Like, I eat a non-fat yogurt every morning. That's my breakfast. So I go to the store and I buy eight non-fat yogurt. I always buy, like, eight yogurts at a time. And then I put them in the fridge and I eat them every day. So you don't have to sit there and be mishar once you're buying something, you know, exactly the amount. You could buy a little bit more, even though you know that it'll be for after the moed.
Like,
but to buy something that's...
Correct, exactly.
So, buy minei Rava Mirav Nachman, what about schar pe'ula she'ein lo ma'yochel? Mahu. What if we have someone that we want to hire, not to buy things from them, we want to hire them to work for us because they have no other way to make money and they have nothing to eat? Is that considered litzarach hamoed? I have a project and I want to hire someone to do that project. So in general, we wouldn't do that in chol hamoed. What are you doing melacha in chol hamoed? But if this guy doesn't work, he's going to have no money and no way to eat on Yontif. So I want to hire him the same way I'm allowed to walk into a store and purchase something that I don't need for the moed in order to keep the guy in business so he'll have food to eat for Yontif. So can I also hire him to install my tile, which is not something I would do on Chol HaMoed, in order that he should be able to make a living, in order that she'll have something to eat for the moed. Not stam that he can make a living. He mamish needs the money. The post can discuss a little bit in Mefarshim whether or not the Hagdara is different for the case of the selling and the case of the worker, but Lamaisa, Amar Le Tanina. So the Gemara wants to suggest that we actually could learn the answer to this question from being medayik in the Mishnah itself. Why? Because the Mishnah says, O litzorech hamocher, right? The Mishnah said that the exception is if it's litzorech hamocher, for the needs of the mocher. And then the Mishnah says that what does he need? He needs food to eat for the moed. So the Gemara is assuming there's a little redundancy in there, right? He could have just said, it's for his need. And we know the need is that he needs food. Why do you clarify it? It must be he was coming to include an additional case. What's the additional case? The additional case is not only a seller that needs money to buy food, but even a worker that needs money to buy food. Doesn't that come to include schar pa'ula? So Amar Leilo, the Gemara says, no, it does not. Pirushe kamefarish. The Mishnah actually was just elucidating and clarifying what it means. Litzorech. What's litzorech? Is having a DVD player litzorech? Is having a new car litzorech? No, what's litzorech? Ein lo ma yochal. He won't have enough money to eat. That's called litzorech. So since it's needed to clarify what we mean, it's not available for a extra extrapolation for this case. Eisvei Abayes, Abaye asked Akasha. So right now we're assuming, so it sounds like we have not been able to justify hiring the schar poel for Ein Lo Mayocho, right? We don't have a raya that we could do that. So Eisvei Abaye, Abaye asked, Ein Kosin Shtar Yechov Mimoed, you're not allowed to write a Shtar Chov on Chol HaMoed, a Shtar Chov's a loan document. But what if that's the only way the person can get the loan? Because you don't trust him, right? You're the malveh. You want to lend the guy money. It's chol hamoed. He needs the money. So just lend him the money. When you need a shtar chov. You need a shtar chov because you actually don't trust that he's going to pay back the money. So without the shtar chov, you're not going to lend the money. So in that situation, o she'en lo mayocho, or he has nothing to eat. In that situation, harizei yichtov, you're allowed to write it. So again, here we add the word O, right? So here it's clear there's another case. So what's that coming to include? Lav la'asuye schar pa'ula. It's coming to include schar pa'ula, shma mino. So that's it. So you're allowed to hire a worker. Who's the worker in this case? The worker is the sofer. That's why you're hiring the worker. That's the worker, right? So in other words, I am the lawyer, or in our circles, that would be the lawyer, right? So the lawyer needs money in order to be able to eat. So even though normally on Chol HaMoed I would not be writing a shtar chov with this guy, so there are two circumstances I could do it. Either the guy needs the money, and the only way I'm going to give him the money is by writing this shtar, or I trust the guy to pay it back. I trust him to pay it back. I don't need this shtar. So why am I going to write the shtar? I'm going to write the shtar because the sofer, Yankel the sofer, or Jake the lawyer, right, needs a parnasa to get through the yontif, to be able to afford to buy food for yontif. So since I need to get him for yontif, we'll bring him in, we'll write up the documents, even though it's chol hamoed. And that proves that the schar poel you're allowed to do on chol hamoed. Most of Rav Sheshes asked the following kasha on this assumption that you're allowed to go ahead and do this schar poula. The chachamim omrim, the Chachamim say, this is a din from Arvei Psachim. This stuff in Moikon is amazing because it sends us all over Shas, right? So this is a din from Arvei Psachim. What happens on Erev Pesach? There's an Isra Malacha on Erev Pesach. You're not supposed to do Malacha on Erev Pesach. It's supposed to be focused on getting ready for Yontif. It's the day they brought the Karban Pesach. It's the whole beginning of Arvei Pesachim. So, Shalosh Umnios Osim Aloch B'Arvei Pesachim. There are three different types of workers that could do work on Erev Pesach. Ad Chatzos, until Chatzos. Who are they? Achaitin, the sewers, the seamstresses, whatever. Vasafrin, Vakubsin. And those that give haircuts, and those that do laundry. Achaitin, why could the sewers do it? So listen to their reasoning. Shekein hedyo tofer kedarko b'cholo shel moen. Since the din is, are you allowed to sew on Chol HaMoed? The answer is, you're not allowed to do a Maisa Uman on Chol HaMoed. Sewing is not a Maisa Tircha. It's not hard. I mean, it's a skill, but it's not physical exertion. Exactly. There's no exertion. So you're not allowed to do things that require an umnis, a physical, a skill. So a actual sewer person is not allowed to sew. But me, Yaakov Glasser, who handled shortening his pants in yeshiva by using a stapler, for me to go ahead and sew something, that would be on Chol HaMoed entirely mutter, right? Asafrin, so what's the assumption? The Gemara's assumption is that since the tofer is mutter, since there is a scenario where sewing is mutter on Chol HaMoed, and Chol HaMoed is more machmir than Erev Pesach, so on Erev Pesach, we could even use the experts until Chatzos. Then the Gemara just clarifies on the safran and the kufsin, why are they allowed, why are the barbers and the launderers, the cleaners? Shekein aboy mimidina sayam vayotzim beis asurin, because people who get out of prison that day, or who come from Medina Sayam, come from far away, they have no other opportunity to get their stuff ready for Yontif. So mutarin l'sabr l'chabas b'chol shel moed. Those people, sorry, not on Erev Pesach, on Chol HaMoed. We're going to learn this in the next Mishnah, right? That those people are allowed to do these things on Chol HaMoed, right? They're allowed to do them on Chol HaMoed because they didn't have a chance to do them before Chol HaMoed. If you had a chance to do it before Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed, right? That's going to be the whole shaving discussion, right? And then we'll have Machlokas Rishonim. What happens if you actually do them on Erev Yontif? Does that negate the Gzeira or not negate the Gzeira? What?
If you dirty your suit the first day.
So if you have no other option for the last days, that's something else also. That might be Litzorach HaMoed. But
you can't buy a new one.
Let's say you have no option. So in order to make sure that you do it before Chol HaMoed, we don't let you do it on Chol HaMoed, right? So let's say you did it on Erev Yontif with the shaving. We want you to get a haircut before Yontif. So we don't allow you to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. But it's a machlokas rishonim between Rabbeinu Tam and the tour. Let's say I went ahead and did it on Erev Yontif. Did I just, now is there, why is there a gzeira anymore? So that's a whole discussion. Well, I'm sure we'll get to that, or somebody will discuss that. But in this scenario, we see that since there is a situation on Chol HaMoed, right, that allows for these people to do what they're doing, l'chamzim chol HaShamoed, therefore it's mutter on Erev Pesach. So that's the klal. Now, follow the rest of the kasha. If you're going to assume that a Chol HaMoed, schar pu'ula for masha eino yachol, somebody who can't eat is allowed to really do almost any malacha on Chol HaMoed. That means that there is a scenario on Chol HaMoed that's matir malacha, basically. So kol malachos nami lishteru. So all the other malachos on Erev Pesach should also be mutter. Why are we only mentioning these three things? Anything should be mutter. Because if you're going to posit that you can hire somebody who needs the money, if you posit there is an exception, just like the exceptions for the other three were on Chol HaMoed, were a chink in the armor, and matired them on Erev Pesach, because Erev Pesach is more makel. So if there's an exception for really a scenario that involves everything else, that should also matir for Erev Pesach, everything else. And yet, the Mishnah only matired these three examples. So therefore, Rav Sheshes wants to say, it must be that you're not allowed to hire a worker in order to give them money for the pu'ula. Maskiflo Rav Papa Elamiatos. Rav Papa says, no, this whole line of thinking is wrong. The presumption here is that anything that happens at Chol HaMoed automatically is matir on Erev Pesach. And that's ridiculous. That's not a correct assumption. That's not what's going on here. That's not what this mission is doing. And I'll prove it to you. Because Binyan, Lishteri, then we should be allowed to build on Erev Pesach. Shekein Kosel HaGol, Rishus HaRabim, because a wall that's about to fall into Rishus HaRabim, Soser HaBonei Kedarko. We learned you're allowed to go ahead and destroy it and build it up in a normal way, because of sakana. Maskla ravina elamata lavla lishtari. We should also be allowed to write documents on Cholam, on Erev Pesach. Shekhen Kosin Kedushay Noshim Gittin Vishovrin, because we're allowed to write Shtar Kedushin, Shtar Gittin on Cholam Moed, because these are pressing situations. And that should matter all writing. And we weren't told that we were allowed to go to a Lavlar in Erev Pesach. Elo Amar Ravashi Moed Arba Asa Karamis. You're bringing me a Kasha on Cholam Moed based on this din about Erev Pesach. You're looking at the whole thing wrong. Moed, you have to understand why the Mishnah stated these exceptions. Moed mishum tircha. The reason why things are asar and chol moed is because of tircha. It takes away from simchas yantif, because of the effort. Uvimakum pseida, but when you're going to have a loss, sharu rabbanon. The rabbanon were matir it. Why? Because to asar it will take away from simchas yantif, right? Because if there's going to be a major hefsid, then refraining from doing it takes away from your simchas yantif. Arbaasar, but on Erev Pesach, Mishim Tzorech Yontif Hu. That's because of Tzorech Yontif. We want you to be involved in the Erev Pesach preparations. Midi de Tzorech Yontif Sharu Rabbanon, midi de Lav Tzorech Yontif Lo Sharu Rabbanon. If it's something that's needed for Yontif, the Rabbanon allowed it. That's why you can get a haircut, you can sew up your suit, and you can wash your clothes. But something that's Lav Tzorech Yontif, like building things and writing things, or Schar Pula, would be usher. So that's how he explains it. So Rav Sheshes, the underlying assumption that produced your question is incorrect. You analyze that Mishnah as using Chol HaMoed as the paradigm, that as soon as there was some flexibility in Chol HaMoed, that transferred total flexibility to Erev Pesach. That's not what the relationship is. The relationship is completely different. And so therefore, now we're back to the assumption that the Schar Pa'ula, the Schar Poel, is mutter on Chol HaMoed, and even though it's mutter on Chol HaMoed, it doesn't disrupt the larger category of Erev Pesach, and everybody's okay. A mafne mi bayis labayis, a person's not supposed to move major things, heavy things, from bayis labayis on Chol HaMoed, even without a malacha involved. From one chatzer, from a bayis, Rashi says, of one chatzer, from a bayis to another chatzer, about, because it's like through a public area. About mifnehu lechatzeiro, but you could move it, and the Havamina, the Gemara is assuming, you can move it from somebody else's chatzer, from somebody else's bias in their chatzer to your chatzer. Emevin kelim ibeisa uman, you can't pick up kelim that you left at the expert's shop on Chol HaMoed. Im choshish lahem, but if you're worried that they're going to get stolen there or get ruined there, you don't trust him, mifnin lechatzer acheres, you're allowed to move it to a different chatzer. So the Gemara then says, what are you giving all these exceptions for when you can move and when you can't move? And the Reish, it sounds like, so Amar Abaye, no, Seifa Nason Labayas Shebechotzer. The Seifa clarifies that we're dealing with a case where you're moving it to a bias in the Chotzer. And since that's happening with a little more privacy, it's Mutter. Emevin Kelim Ibeisa Uman. So we said, you're not allowed to pick up, so I left my metal at this metal shop, and I told him, make it into a bowl, and it's ready on Chol HaMoed, and I want to go pick it up. You're not allowed to pick it up. And mevi and kelim mibeis ha'uman. Can't bring it from the beis ha'uman. So Amar Papa, Badiklan Rava, Rava gave us an exam, he gave us a test, and he asked us the following stira. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, mevi and kelim mibeis ha'uman. You can't bring kelim from the beis ha'uman for a minu. And let me ask you a contradiction. Molichin umevin kelim mi beis ha'uman. We have another source that says you can bring kelim and you can take back kelim from an expert's shop. The afal pi she'ena litzarech ha'moed, even though it's not litzarech ha'moed. V'shaninan lei. So how did we answer his stira, his contradiction? Kan bar basar, kan becholosh ha'moed. One's talking about a case of Chol HaMoed, that's when you're not allowed to bring it. One's talking about a case of Arbasar, of Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, you're allowed to bring, and you're allowed to pick up. So then they said, or Ibayasema, there was another answer that we gave, Ha Baha B'Chol HaShamoed, both are cases of Chol HaMoed, Kan B'Ma'amino, Kan B'Sheinu Ma'amino. One's talking about a case where you trust him, and one's talking about a case where you do not trust him. In a case where you trust him, you're not allowed to bring it back in it because it's not Litzorech, since he could watch it with no problem. In a case where you don't trust him, you are allowed to bring it back. V'hatanya, and Rashi says siyua, right? Sometimes the word v'hatanya means we're going to ask a question. Sometimes the word v'hatanya means we're bringing a proof. So how do we know the difference? We read Rashi, right? Siyua, this is a proof. Mevi'in kelim mi'beis ha'uman, you could bring kelim from the beis ha'uman, kigon kad mi'beis ha'kadar, like a pitcher from the people who make the pottery, v'kos mi'beis ha'zogag, or a glass from the place that makes glass. You can't bring wool from the dyeing place. Kalim and our general vessels, mi beis ha'uman. You're not allowed to bring them from the beis ha'uman. But if you have nothing to eat, if he has nothing to eat, you can pay for it, but you leave it by him. But if you don't trust him, then you could move it to a house that's near him. Even though you're moving it on Chol HaMoed, and it looks like you're going to pick up your stuff, and you're making a transaction. Bim choshesh lahem, and if you're worried, Shema Yignevu, that it'll get stolen from that house, maftin the chotzer acheris. You can move it to a different chotzer, even though that's more of a exertion. Bim eno ma'amino, and if you can't trust that it'll be okay in that chotzer, mevi'in bitzina betoch beso. You could bring a bitzina into your own home. So that's the raya that's the raya for this chiluk. So one Mishnah that says ein mevi'in is talking about where you trust him, and when you trust him, you should leave it there. And when you don't trust him, that's when you can pick it up. The mevi'in is when you can pick it up. So the Gemara says that's a terrible teretz. Why? Tirats the mevi'in molichin kasha diktani ein mevi'in v'kol shekein she'ein molichin. You're explaining the chiluk about picking it up. But how do you explain why in that case, if you're not allowed to pick it up, you're also not allowed to drop it off? How can you explain why you're not allowed to drop it off? So the Gemara says, El Nechvar Tekedashin Mi'ikara. It must be that the first answer of differentiating between Erev Pesach and Chol HaShemoed, that's the case. Mechafen es ha-ketziyos pikash. So you have your figs, and you want to make sure that those figs can dry out in the sun without getting ruined from the rain. So you want to spread some straw on top of those figs, as we generally do. So you're allowed to spread the katsios on the figs. Rabbi Yehud Omer, af me'avin. You're even allowed to thicken it up a little bit. Mochre peros, people who sell peros, ksus v'kelim, or blankets, or vessels. Mochrim bitzina l'tzorach hamoed. Are allowed to sell bitzina for the tzorach hamoed. Hatsaidon, those that catch animals, vadishoshos, those that grind grain, vagrusos, and grind beans, osim bitzina letzorech hamoed. You're allowed to do it bitzina for the tzorech hamoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he mechmiru al atzman. That they're actually machmir on themselves not to even do that. So, pligi bar Rav Chiya bar Abba v'Rav Asi, Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Asi had a machlokas. V'tavari mishmei dechizkiya. They both were speaking in the name of Chizkiya v'Rav Yochanan. Chad Omar, one says that the machlokas in our Mishnah about covering over these dates, these figs, is mechafin aklushi, that when it says you could be mechafin, that means it's a light covering, me'avin asmuchi, and a thicker covering means you concentrate them more together, the straw is thicker. V'chad Omar, and that's the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Can you do it? The Tanakhama says only you can do this with a thin spread, and that's less exertion. Rabbi Yehuda says even with a thicker spread. V'chad Amar, and one opinion is, no, that's not their machlokas. Mechafin means bein aklushi, bein asmuchi, whether it's a thin spread or a thick spread. Me'avin, so the Tanakhama says both are mutter. So what's me'avin that the Tanakhama says is also, and Rabbi Yehuda says is mutter? Also, naso kamin kri. That's where you make it like a pile. And that takes even a lot of exertion. Tani Nami Ochi, we have a brisa that confirms this. Me'avin osin osa kamin kri. And me'avin means you make it like a pile. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Mocher peros ksus v'kelim, mocher bitzina. If you sell peros ksus v'kelim, you could sell them in private. Ibay lehu, we have a shayla. Hein echmiru al atzman. This statement of Rabbi Yossi, that they are machmir on themselves, to lo avi avi klal, does that mean they didn't do it at all? Meaning it's a chumrah beyond the Mishnah? O dilma da havu avdi bitzina. Or maybe not. Maybe the fact that they did it bitzina was the chumrah, and me'ikar adin, they're allowed to do it all together. In other words, is it what's the chumra? Is it more machmir or less machmir than the? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, proof. Mochri, ksus, peros, ksus, vikelim, mochrim, bitzina, litzarech, hamoed. You're allowed to sell them bitzina, litzarech, hamoed. Rabbi Yossi says, Tagri, Tveria, in the people, the sellers of Tveria, hey, nechmir, alatsun, show you mochrim, kolik, or they didn't sell them at all. Sadi, chayos, ofos, the dogim, those that catch chayos, ofos, and dogim, wild animals, birds, and fish, tzadim, bitzina, can catch them in private. Litzarech hamoed, Rabbi Yossi says, no, tzadi akol, the catchers of akol and michmir and al-atzman, shleye tzadim kolikr, they didn't catch them at all. Dishushe chilka, targis, vitisni, those that would grind chilka, which we'll see what that is, targis, vitisni, different types of grain grind concoctions, doshishin bitzina, they can go ahead and be doshdem bitzina, privately, litzarech hamoed, Rabbi Yossi, and dishushe, tzipori, those that grinded in Tzipori, enechmir and alatzman, shaleyidosh and kolikr, they didn't do it at all. So what does that sound like? That sounds like Rabbi Yossi, when he says, ichmir alatzman, he doesn't mean ichmir alatzman, that the chumra was to do it bitzina, right? Which is more mekel than the Tanakama. But rather, the chumra was not to do it at all. Tanakama is saying, you can do it bitzina, and he's coming along and saying, no, they didn't do it at all. Because he has all these examples of these people in the cities that didn't do it at all. Amar Abaye, so says Abaye, chilka, what is chilka? How do you make chilka? So recipes. Chada letarti, you divide the grain, you take the grain, and you cut it into two. And by cutting it into two, you get a little bit of a thicker concoction. Targis, what's targis? Chada letzlos. You divide the grain, you pound it harder, into three. Tasni, chada la'arba. Tasni means you divide it, pound it even harder and finer, and you divide it into four. So ki asa Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came, Amar kunsa. He says, no, that's not what chilka is. Chilka is where you use a piece of spelt, a grain of spelt. So Meisveis, the Gemara asks, Chilka targis vitisni tmein b'chol makom. So the Gemara says, really? That's what this is? It doesn't make sense that that's what this is, because Chilka targis vitisni, these three things, are tmein b'chol makom. So the way it works is, if you pick up grain, if you pick up flour, you want to know, can you assume that flour has been machshir l'tuma, that flour has the capability of becoming tameh? Something could only become tameh if it came into contact at some point with a liquid, with a particular type of liquid. So there's a difference between in town and out of town. In town, they would wash the grain, because people in town, I'm not going to Central Avenue and buying unwashed grain. It's just not happening, right? In town. Out of town, right, where they're less mefunik about everything, right? And maybe the sheitel is $400 and not $4,000, right? Out of town. So in the kfarim, it's not wash, it's okay, as long as we're all, getting along and everybody is slower pace of life, everything's good, everything's fine, we don't wash the grain so quickly. So if you buy flour from in town, you have to assume that it is machshir l'tuma. If you buy flour from out of town, then you can assume that it might not be machshir l'tuma. And if it comes into contact with tuma, it might not be a problem. So says the Gemara, so l'arim mishum achi tmein b'chol makom. So these things, the chilka tirgis v'tisni, are tamei no matter what. So the Gemara says, so follow the logic. Bishlamo, it's good according to the Manda Amar that says the recipe is chada letarti letzlos v'larba, that this is a type of concoction where we divide the grain into one, two, and three. Mishum achi tmeim d'chol makom, because that's why they're tamei everywhere, even out of town. These kasher, because they've become wet, because the only way that you can prep grain to be split open is to first soak it. As we all know, without soaking it, you can't mash it to separate it. So therefore, that's why it would be b'chol makom. Because even if you're making this out of town, where you don't normally wash grain, if you're going to split the grain, you have to wash the grain. So el lemandomar, but according to mandomar kunsa, they were just dealing with a grain of spelt, and it's solid. Why should it be tamei b'chol makom? Alo iskishar. You didn't prep it to be divided at all. So therefore, it must be that the right identification of these things is the one that says it's the grain that you split. The Gemara then says, no, kagon de mikalfin. It's talking about spelt that may not be split, but it is shelled, the holes removed. And that does require the lo dishralu b'maya, if you don't dip it in water, lo avi miklufa, it can't be shelled. So, v'amai korile chilka, so then why is it called chilka? Chilka sounds like the word chelek, that it's split. You're not splitting the spelt, you're just shelling the spelt. The shokal chilkayu, that by taking off that shell, you make it chalak. Chalak means smooth. So you make the spelt smooth. So now everything's been soaked. So now that's not a raya to one or the other, because both the original splitting recipe and the assumption, the identification that it is the spelt, both of them require soaking. One because you're going to split the grain, and one because you're going to hold the spelt. So therefore, that's not a riot. So therefore, it's that fact that they do, the fact that they're all accepted in out of town does not prove anything. So the Gemara then says, Meisivei, we learned, I know, der mina dogon, if a person makes a neder, I am not going to have anything to do with grain. Aser, there aser, after pula mitzri, even with this type of grain, this Egyptian grain, that's yavesh, that's old, or that's dry, umutr belach, but it's mutter belach, umutr beorez, and you're allowed to use rice, bechilka v'tirgis v'tisni, and you're allowed to use this chilka tirgis v'tisni. So, bitch, lama, I understand, lama, or chadalitarti, chadalitlos, chadalarba, I understand according to the one who says that the recipe is the one where you split it once, twice, three times, four times, shapir dinofkulumitaris dagon. So it's no longer called grain, because you're pulverizing it. That's not called grain. You look at that, you just see a bunch of crumbs. You say to somebody, this is grain, I want a pound of grain, and the guy hands you these crumbs. That's not grain. So if that's not grain, that's why when you make a neder not to get it off from grain, you're allowed to eat these three things. But the one who says it's just a grain of spelt, so maybe we took the shell off, but it's still just a grain of spelt. It hasn't been broken up. Dagon me'alyo, then it's a dagon completely. So the Gemara says, Kasha, in Echanami, that's a good question, and we don't have a solution to that question. Rav Huna Sharile La'anu Kufrusayu Krufaisa. Rav Huna would allow these spice dealers, Lameza Lizvune, to be open for business on Chol HaMoed. Ki Orchayu Bishuka, when they would operate in the Shuk. So Eisei Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana has the Kasha, Chanot, if you have a Chanut, you have a store, Psucho lesitov, and it's open to like an area that's got benches outside of it. Poseach v'noal kedarko. So such a store you could keep open to use for Chol HaMoed, right? But it's psucho l'rishus harabim because it's pitzina. It's psucho l'rishus harabim, so then it looks like real commerce. Poseach achas v'noal achas. One door open, one door closed. So at least it's a simin that we're not fully open. So I told you, some places Eretz Yisrael, they don't have full hours in Chol HaMoed.
They close at 4 p.m.
Yeah, they close early. So, right? 4 p.m. is a regular day. Right? Yeah. Close at 2 p.m., right? The Erev Yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag, but Erev Yontif of the end of Sukkot, which is, let's say, before Shmini Atzeres, I guess on Hoshana Rabbah, Motzi Ma'ateres Shukei Eir. They're able to open completely and to put all their merchandise in the markets of the city. So Biperos, Bishvil Kovid Yantif Achron. So the Gemara says because of Kovid Yantif Achron. That's the reason why. Mibnei Karvod Yantov Achron in, Shalom Mibnei Kovid Yantov Achron Lo. So it sounds like the only time you're allowed to put your stuff out is because of Kovid Yantov Achron. But if it's not for Kovid Yantov Achron, you're not allowed to do so. So how was Rav Huna? How is Rav Huna allowed to permit these spice dealers to just remain open in the shuk if it's not for Kavod Yom Tov Achron? The Gemara says, Lo Kasha, it's not a question. Ha bepere, ha betavlin. One's talking about peros. Says Rashi, sheyesh lachshod, shekona letzarech yomos hashana. So by peros, we have these concerns that you'll buy them not lemoed. And one's talking about tavlin, mocher kedarko. Tavlin spices you could buy on your own. Why? Because I call Yodin to Litzarech HaMoed. Everybody knows they're for Tzarech HaMoed. I guess they don't last as long. V'lekach shada she'en ru'uyin li'iskayim. Hilkach afilu b'farhesia mutter. Therefore, even Befarhesia, it's mutter. Okay, and now we start the next parak. Elu Megalchin Bamoi. We'll do that next time. It's a shame. A little bit technical. The what?